Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello, everyone. I am Bray.
And this is CSI Talk. Well, this episode, let me tell you about this episode.
I didn't like it.
I mean, okay. It's really interesting.
Oh.
I didn't like it because it drives Sarah's off the wagon.
I still love it.
I don't like how it makes my favorite Terry feels. It drives her off the wagon and she's outsmarted by, how long was the end of this episode? I don't know. 8?
12,
10, 12, whatever, by 10.
And she points that out too.
I don't like how my favorite's treated in this episode. If you guys haven't realized yet, I love Sarah Seidel. She's my favorite character.
Why? But, you know, you can't have somebody... Well, okay, sounds not perfectly sane half the time.
Time, but... You know what I mean? Look, she was with Britton in this episode. She was having a healthy relationship for once, okay? She was with a man that she has... She loves for... At this point, I don't know how many years. She's been almost 10 years at this point. That is great. But then she now is trying to, quote unquote, solve a case with her team. And she... Mostly Nick. And she doesn't know what to do, I mean.
Yeah, because she thinks Marilyn is innocent, but Hannah is guilty.
I mean, it surely does make you think, could women commit crimes? Yeah, absolutely. But women do not commit crimes as much as men. It's a very small number in the statistic. But they still do.
But we do know what she did a year and a half later.
Yeah, that's why I don't like it. Because in the start of this episode, Hannah's going to start to keep track on Sarah. And she's going to use that eventually. You know what? I don't like when on Sarah's last episode, when she decides to leave, there was something she wanted to tell Grissom. And I feel like if they had had that conversation, she probably wouldn't have left. She probably would have said, look, I'm not feeling the same ever since that happened. Probably Grissom would be like, you know what? Let's take a vacation. Let's go back to San Francisco.
Let's actually get married because I just proposed to you.
Or that. Let's like to go to San Francisco and get married. Let's invite our friends over. You know what?
I'm gonna walk you down my mama's church. Sorry, that's a quote from a country song, Walk Me Down the Middle from the band Perry.
You see what I'm talking about, guys? I'm doing the podcast of Joe Grissom here. Oh, by the way, you did not remind me of making that apology.
Let's make that apology, somebody.
Okay. So, guys, I can do it. Could meme. I'm finding it. It took you that long to find it? It does. Okay. So, guys, you probably know that I've seen the TV show, The Originals, right? But you don't know that one of my characters, it has always been Elijah Michelson. You probably don't have a clue of who I'm talking about.
Right? Watch the show.
Unless you watch the show, yeah. He was portrayed by Daniel Gillies. I mean, Gillies. Oh, I'm totally butchering his last name. Anyways, just Google Elijah Michelson, okay? He's a great actor. He was first introduced in The Vampire Diaries because The original is a spin-off series. Anyways, so I'm writing a fan fiction based on the show The Originals and adapting what happened because I'm kind of changing what happened. Anyways, so here he was telling Brie, like, okay, I have no idea what I'm going to do. Like, how am I going to adapt this storyline? Because there's a storyline that happened in the end that I'm not really sure how I'm going to do it. Then I was telling Brie all the things that Elijah did by the end of the show. And
I was being half responded probably because I was tired from weird work days.
Yeah. I was telling Brie half explaining what happened because most of the things that I know from the last season, which I don't really remember, I actually know from a review video that I've seen it. And I told Brie, okay, look, this is what Elijah did. This is what he did next and all of that. And I was like, you know what? I always call Grissom a dumbass, but this man really takes the prize. You know, Elijah really takes the prize for being a dumbass. So I would like, you guys shouldn't leave Brisbane right now. I would like to formally apologize to Gil Grissom, to Gilbert Grissom. I would,
like, and the writers of CSI.
And the writers of CSI, because look, I would like to formally apologize to the writers and to the character and probably to William Peterson himself. I'm not even sure if he listens to this, but anyways, for calling Grissom a dumbass, because he's not a dumbass. I'm going to find another word for it. As Catherine says, he couldn't get his head away from the microscope. This is what he did for a long time. But I would like to formally apologize to Gil Grissom because he's not as much as a dumbass as I thought he was until I delved deep into Elijah and I realized that man is actually even more of a dumbass than I thought he was. Don't mind me, he's still a noble vampire because he's known as the noble one. He still treats women with the utmost respect and he's a feminist every woman's dream. So yeah, I would like to apologize. That was it. I'm never calling Grissom dumbass again. And if I ever do that again, Bree, you call me all of that.
It'll okay. Kind
of, this episode is an episode, it's a merely follow-up to last week's episode. It's episode 18 of season 6, The Unusual Suspect. It was also written by Anthony Zyker and it aired on March 30th of 2006. And the official synopsis is, when a student is arrested and tried for the murder of a popular high school girl, the suspect's 12-year-old sister surprises everyone by confessing to the crime in court, resulting in the judge giving the prosecution 72 hours to re-examine the evidence before the jury delivers its verdict. Well, the name of the victim is Station... It's not sure if I pronounced that correctly. On the case, we have Catherine, Nick, Sarah, and Warwick. Grissom is not on this case from the beginning. Now, when Hannah comes back to haunt Sarah again, he will not be on the case either because his relationship with Sarah will be known throughout the lab and Sarah will be working on a different shift. But since it's an old case, Sarah has to work on the Haley case again and that person will not be able to supervise. There's a courtroom and Sophia is actually tearing the cords how the victim, Stacey Vollmer, was last seen practicing on her high school tennis court on Friday night. Monday morning, her body was found wrapped in a shower curtain and buried in a flower bed on the school grounds. This first part of the episode and the last part of the episode takes place inside the courtroom. Doc Robbins then shows up and he tells the court that the COD was a cerebral hemorrhaging, which is consistent with a single sharp blow to the head. There is also laceration to the back. Nick is on the stand again. Nick was now over that rebellious phase. He took up his mustache and now he actually has his hair. It's good. I mean, that's until he decides to go crazy with his hair again. I was realizing that Nick's hair looks really good on this last part of season 6. It looks really good. He tells the court that Marlon West, who is the defendant, he apparently bleached the clothes he was wearing when he murdered Stacy, which means they wouldn't be able to catch any biological or any evidence from his clothes because bleach completely erased the whole thing. Stacy's hair was found in the drain of his bathroom sink. His sister is called to the stand, Hannah West, and then she tells the court that she was his brother's alibi, apparently. She tells the court that, yes, she and Marlon were alone on the night of the Stacy's murder, but they were not together for 4 hours of the night. And then
she stands up and unzips her jacket. Her shirt is covered.
Yeah, she said that Marlon wasn't the one that killed Stacy, was her. And then everyone in the court is too stunned to speak, literally.
Like, it's just a preteen female who is kind of short. And you know, they always expect as short people to do anything.
And I know, there have been documented cases of children committing crimes, okay? Back in the lab, Ackley is literally all over the They thought they had a slam dunk. Apparently they don't. Nick tells Ackley that even though Hannah confessed, all the evidence was still on point. All they have to do is prove that Hannah didn't kill Stacy. And then he tells Ackley, well, we're going to need 1 week to reprocess everything. And Ackley says, no, we only have 3 days. Nick is like, we only have 3 days? What? Yeah, they're going to have to pull a triple now.
Not even. Yeah. I mean, even more. Even though you can't really do more than that, but you know what I'm trying to say, right?
I know. In the layout room, Nick is playing the video of Marlo's interrogation, and Marlo is admitting to killing Stacy because, quote unquote, she was a stuck-up, miserable person. Right now, helping him is Catherine, Sarah, and Warwick. Nick tells Catherine and Sarah and Warwick that they couldn't admit this video on court because there was no child advocate present. If there was no child advocate present, they couldn't get the video to court. I don't know, because there was this one case that, do you all remember? That boy that killed his brother with a pipe, and the detective got a confession, and then he told Nick that he didn't need an advocate present as long as the boy understood his rights. I don't know, maybe they could have pulled this on this situation, but they didn't. Anyways, they go over the crime scene photos and Nick is telling them what he found. The crime actually was a prank that gone wrong because Marlon actually sabotaged the shower head in the locker room with sodium hydroxide. For the audience that don't understand the chemistry jargon, sodium hydroxide is caustic soda or lye. He's saying that Marlon sabotaged the locker room showerhead with caustic soda. There was an out of order sign that made Stacy go to the sabotage showerhead. That was traced to a laser printer in the school library. The crime happened inside the school after hours. The showerhead exploded once Stacy opened the water, and it caused the non-fatal laceration on her back. So do you remember when Doc Robbins told the court that there was laceration on her back? This is what caused it. She wrapped herself in the shower curtains and ran down the hallway, which left a blood trail. Then Marlon chased her. She fell down the stairs and she hit her head and died. Marlon took the body across the football field and buried it on the flower bed. Her car then was driven 2 miles to the front of her boyfriend's house to frame him. But the boyfriend was out of town at the time of the murder. Sarah's like, okay, but what about Hannah? Nick is like, I don't think she would have been strong enough to carry everything.
Nick is just being, you know.
Nick.
Yeah.
But we have to remember, too, Nick has a soft spot for kids.
In a fatherly way, he has a soft spot for girls.
Yeah. But the thing is, Hannah is a child prodigy because she skipped 6 grades. And she had the brains to excuse the plan. I mean, that is Sarah's argument. Even though she's that small, she would be able to pull all that off. Nick's still on the, she's just trying to exonerate her brother. Nick's point would turn out to be true.
In this case.
In the States, yeah. Because Nick is not all right all the time. As oh my God, do you guys remember that dreadful episode that we do not remember? That he wanted to throw Sarah in lockup and throw away the key.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that episode. Yeah, we did not like that episode. Okay, we acted.
We have
that
to
episode.
Eventually cover it, though.
Oh my God, do not even tell me, because I'm thinking I'm going to puke throughout this episode, okay? I'm going to literally puke, okay? I'm going to die. I'm going to literally die, you know?
Put a bit on the hate.
Seriously? I cannot even talk about this episode with a straight face.
Forget me.
We don't talk about that episode. That episode does not exist. That episode does not exist. We don't like it, okay? We don't like it. We hate it. It's a dreadful episode. Seriously. I don't like that episode. Why would they have put my girl through that? Why? What did she do? She did nothing. She did nothing wrong. She did absolutely nothing wrong. And she looked great on that episode. I mean, I love her jacket. The first time that I watched it, I was like, the jacket looks great. And then I realized what was going on. I was like, I don't like that episode. I hate it. And then Nick was like, she did it. And then 30 minutes later, he's like, oh, no, Sarah, you didn't do it. But I'm going to get the guy that did it.
I'm like, your brother. You can always tell me anything.
Really? You don't get to call yourself Sarah's brother after doing all that.
Because he, even though they were getting divorced here, if Gresham was there, he would have.
Because
he even texted her happy birthday. Like, they were in the middle of divorce. He didn't have to do
that. Don't make me break my promise. I just apologize. See, guys, she's trying to make me call Gresham that word. I'm not doing that. I just call Elijah that word 100 times already.
Anyways, let's get back to the unusual suspect.
They are analyzing the shirt, right? And they realize that it has the same soil from where Stacy's body was found. I mean, it could have been planted. Hannah could have just gone there, put her hands in the dirt, and then just rubbed it in on her shirt. But Sophia tells Sarah that Marlon was the only one who had a negative opinion about Stacy because Stacy had a 4-point GPA. And she was on the tennis team, and she was homecoming queen. Marlon probably wasn't the only one who had a negative opinion about Stacy. High school was hell for someone, okay? It was hell for me. I'm pretty sure not everyone had a positive opinion about Stacy. Sophie also says that she looked right into Marlon's eyes, and he confessed, and she has no doubt that he's guilty. Sarah is just looking at the other possibility, because she was brought in to see the possibility. Sarah and Sophia, they go and question Hannah, and Hannah is now using a prisoner jumpsuit, which is literally too big for her. It's too big for her. They had to cut it to fit on her. Sophia and Sarah are questioning her, and she knows that they're not buying her story. But she says, well, you guys are not believing me, but you did not release me yet. And she tells them that the reason why she killed Stacy is because she was actually thrown off of the grading curves in her class. I mean, she was better than anyone in her class because, remember, she's a child prodigy, which means that her grades were a lot better than anyone in her age. And that was true because Stacy was trying to get into Harvard. And to get into under Hannah's skin, Stacy and her classmates decided to prank Hannah. Hannah says that she did put a prank of her own, but the shower head is exploding instead of just giving off sparks. And the Stacy dying was just a result of the prank. And then she just tried to cover up by an accident. Okay. Creepy much? The blood that was found on Hannah's shirt was actually her own blood. It did not belong to the victim. Warwick is like, well, she did fabricate the evidence because why else would she do this? But Catherine says that, yeah, Hannah could have been at the scene, cut herself, and wiped the blood at her shirt. You know what? Sarah and Catherine, they really think that Hannah was able to pull it off. I mean, you know what? I think it's kind of, you know, because Nick and Warwick, they're like, oh, she absolutely did not do it. You know, she's a girl. She wouldn't be able to do it. While Sarah and Catherine, they're like, we're just looking at the evidence and thinking that this girl could have done it without looking at her gender.
Well, because they also know what women can be capable of.
Yeah, they also know that women could be capable of murder. Not that Warwick and Nick don't think that women will not be able to murder. But they're looking at Hannah and they're thinking, she's a little girl. She's not going to be able to do this. Warwick tells Catherine, well, but she's smart enough. She could have found the dump site within the last 4 months, and then she rubbed dirt on her shirt. And she knew that the lab would be able to make a match. I mean, the CSIs, they're like on step one. She's already on step 50. They've barely begun their investigation on Marlon. She's already thinking about ways to get him off the hook. Sarah and Nick, they go to Marlon's room. They're going to process it again. Nick shows her the hamper that he found the bleach clothes, the bathroom sink where Stacy's hair was found. There were also burn marks in the bathtub that tested positive for sodium hydroxide. Nick thinks that Marlon was doing a test run to see if it would work, to see if it would work at the school. Nick actually, he finds a step tool with Hannah's name on it next to the sink. While Sarah is processing Hannah's bedroom, she actually finds a box of blue latex gloves, and she finds out that Hannah won first prize in the science fair for a project about sodium. Kind of suspicious. When she is going through the closet, she finds the dress that Hannah, the seventh class dress that Hannah wore to the school dance. Nick actually finds the novel Carrie. There's also a few movies adapting this book. And the main character of the book was embarrassed in a similar way to Hannah. Spoiler alert if you haven't read the book or seen one of the movies.
I think anybody who has any pop culture knowledge knows what happens.
Well, I know, but let me say, I mean, we are doing a breakdown. This is what happens in a breakdown. What happens to Carrie is that her schoolmate drops pig's blood. So she goes around killing everybody. Well, in the living room, Hannah's parents, they are telling Sophia that neither Hannah or Marlon had many friends. Hannah's IQ is 177. She is always compelled to help others, even though they are worth helping or not. Okay, got it. So she is really smart. Back in the lab, Nick tells Catherine that the unidentified prints that he has found on the shower curtain actually came back to Hannah. He says that the curtain actually came from a handicapped shower. But Catherine's like, yeah, she could have showered there before. I mean, she was shorter than the other girls. She would need to shower in a handicapped shower. The prints that they found are actually evenly spaced, which means that Hannah actually grabbed the curtain. That's what happens when you grab something like a piece of clothing or something else. Your fingerprints are going to be evenly spaced. Nick actually thinks that Hannah would not have been able to drag the victim's body across the football field. But Catherine's like, well, but plastic can easily slide on the grass. So what is Catherine thinking? She thinks that Hannah just kicked the body with the plastic and the body would roll until it hit whatever place Hannah wanted. Sarah decides to go and talk to the science teacher, Hannah's science teacher, and he tells Sarah that the lab is always getting broken into. And she decides to process it, and she finds broken glass on the case where sodium is held. Now they've realized that the sodium hydroxide that they found on the scene came from the school itself. Sarah realizes that to handle sodium, you would need to wear gloves because otherwise it would burn your skin. The teacher tells Sarah that there was no way Hannah would have broken in and steal the sodium. Nobody thinks this girl will be able to commit a crime, except for Sarah and Catherine. Back at the lab's garage, Catherine and Warwick, they are processing Stacy's car, which was found in her boyfriend's house. You remember that? And the sodium blood from the carpet were already that they filmed. I mean, Nick had already filmed that before. Warwick decides to flip it over, and he found a drop of blood that Nick hadn't found it before. When he decides to remove the driver's seats from the car, he actually finds a bloody footprint. The evidence they have actually points to the killer moving the seats. It's something that Hannah would have had to do. Mandy runs the prints, and it comes back to Stacy's boyfriend. Stacy's boyfriend actually tells Sophia that he pressured Stacy into having sex, but even though she took a virginity pledge at school. They did it in the back of his car, which made her bleed. I mean, if you're a virgin, the first time that you have sex, you might bleed. I mean, not all women bleed. Okay? Let's just make this clear right now. Not all the women will bleed the first time they have sex. Not all women will bleed the first time that they have sex, okay? Not all women. Okay? It's just how women's body are made. gay. Not all women will believe the person they have sex.
He says that he took off his condom on the front seat and he wipes the blood under the seat. When they tested the blood from the prints, it came back positive for spermicides and lubricants, so he didn't do it. Marlon and Hannah are the only suspects. Sarah tells Nick that after Ronnie Hannah's laptop, she had IP access to the laser printer in the school library, which means that she could have printed the out-of-order things. And if she did it, it would prove that there was intent into killing Stacy. Sarah, Nick, they decide to recreate the crime scene. To do that, Warwick decides to put Darcy and the stand-in for Hannah. Darcy is his wife's niece. I guess he and Tina are good again. Because Darcy is the same size as Hannah's. Warwick is making that little girl listen to music while they are talking about the crime. It's kind of funny, actually. The way they behave around each other. She thinks that's pretty boring.
Well, you know, when you're 12, when you're that age, don't you think everything your parents say and do all adults do?
Imagine that little girl, Darcy, when her parents came home one night and they're like, oh, your Uncle Warwick asked for your help to solve a crime. Isn't that wonderful? And she'd be like, oh, that's boring. That girl would literally wait the entire day to help her uncle, which she barely knew at this point, right? Anyway, Darcy is way too short because she couldn't raise the shower head. Nick puts a stool in the nearby shower, and they realize that Hannah would have used that, you know, to reach the shower head. Warwick is like, can you reach that now? And then Darcy's like, okay. I think that's so funny, the way Darcy and Warwick interact.
Who knows, maybe outside of the lab, Warwick is a fun uncle.
There he is. We have a flashback that shows Hannah finding being by the shower, and then watching how her prank on Stacy unfolded. Then Stacy ran out into the hall, disoriented, and fell down the stairs. They go to the football field, and poor Darcy is trying to drag into shower curtain with a body weight inside. And they're all like, Hannah could have done that, could not have done that. Darcy couldn't do it. Hannah could not have done that all the way through the football field. Because they had scratches on the shower curtain, which means that it was dragged part of the way. But they're like, well, maybe they work together. Maybe when they're doing this brainstorm, Warwick tells Darcy, put your headphones back on. Don't listen to them. So maybe Warwick took Darcy to have lunch after this. Anyways, so they're brainstorming.
It seems like Warwick is a better uncle than Catherine was a grandma, because he made sure that Darcy did not hear. Well, Catherine took her granddaughter to a little crime scene.
Yeah, Catherine took her granddaughter to a crime scene. I mean, she took her daughter to crime scenes all the time. Thankfully, this wasn't a fresh crime scene, but he made sure she wasn't listening to the gore details.
Yeah, and it was fresh crime scenes. So, Catherine.
Yeah, that is Catherine, dude.
I love you, Catherine.
We love Catherine, okay? On this podcast, we love Catherine Willows, okay? But taking your little granddaughter and
who calls people pineapple?
Yeah, you know what? From that interaction, we found out that Josh Fulton is how many years old? Pineapple years old. How old is Fulton?
Pineapple.
Okay. They realized that the scratches that they found on the curtain, that it was dragged at least part of the way, and they wonder if Harry and Marlon carry the body across the field. Nick and Sarah, they are like, they may have worked together, and they're probably still working together as a team. And they cannot get one of them to implicate the other. If Marlon cannot say that it was his sister that committed the crime, or if his sister cannot say that it was Marlon that did it, the whole case is going to get off court, and it's going to give the jury reasonable doubt. Marlon and Hannah, they are questioned separately by Nick and Sarah. Nick is questioning Marlon, and Sarah is questioning Hannah. And they both admit to the crime. And Nick says that using sodium
would not be Marlon's style, but Marlon says that, yeah, he was the one that broke into the school's lab and stole it and put on the shower head. And when Sarah tells Hannah that she couldn't have been the one that dragged Stacy's body across the football field, Hannah says, yeah, I didn't. Yes, of course, I couldn't have done it. That's why I used the electric cord. Sarah's like, what the? They didn't even think about that possibility. I think there was even like the electric cord on the scene while they took Darcy to recreate the crime. They didn't even think about the possibility that the body could have been dragged across the football field inside the cart. Warwick, he is going through the crime scene pictures again, and he does find cards on the background, which actually confirms Hannah's story. Nick and Ackley, they're speaking with the DA, and the DA tells them that they're going through with the case, and they're going to present to the court that Marlon was the one that committed the crime. They are going to bring charges against Hannah for conspiracy, right? They're going to judge both of them, both of the siblings, for the crime. Sarah goes into the room, you know. Sarah has entered the chat, and she tells them that a pizza delivery man did deliver a pizza to the West House the night that Stacy died. But since neither one of the parents were home, one of the kids had to answer the door. But he didn't know which one was because it's been a month since the whole accident happened, right?
Seriously, why didn't they go do that when it was...
Why didn't Nick do it? Like, I mean, when the whole thing could have been avoided if Nick had done this his job.
Oh, if anybody followed up. Not just Nick, if anybody.
Nick and Ackley, they still think that Marlon killed Stacy. And Hannah is just trying to protect him. The DA, I think the DA chooses the Sarah words a lot more than he chooses Ackley and Nick. So they're like, what about just Sarah? And Sarah's like, this crime is a lot more about brains than bronze. Sarah thinks that there would have taken a lot more intelligence to commit the crime than actually the strength to pull it off. She thinks that Hannah is the one that did it. DA is laying the case for the jury in the court that Marlon was jealous of Stacy because it was so easy to be popular. And his resentment for her was so strong that he decided to stalk her, play a prank on her, and it resulted in her death. But the defense attorney says that Marlon wasn't smart enough to do something like that. But Hannah was. And the defense attorney says there's a lot of reasonable doubt to persecute Marlon. In the end, the jury finds that Marlon's not guilty of murder of first degree. Yeah. So back at PD, Sarah tells Hannah that the DA will try to prosecute her for murder. After her mother leaves her side, Hannah tells Sarah that her parents only care about her and not Marlon. She also tells Sarah that she has to be really smart to make everyone think that something happened, but it never did. Then
she whispers,
I didn't kill Stacy.
Marlon did.
That's how Sarah got her arch nemesis.
A child arch nemesis.
A child. You know what? Look, that takes us back to what Grissom said on the episode last week. Everyone can learn from science. What matters is what you do with that knowledge. Apparently, Hannah decided to do things for the better. I think Hannah was actually in love with her brother.
I do too.
In season 8, when Hannah comes back with her brother, because her brother is actually being tried again for another murder, but this time he did not commit the murder. It was his sister. They are trying to get his sister to admit that she did commit the murder, but she still is not budging. When I watched that episode, I was sure that his sister actually was in love with him. You know, and that's why she made this whole thing up at her first appearance to get everyone to believe that she did it, when actually Marlon was the one that did it. And then on the second time she shows up, she actually follows up what happened to Sarah. Maybe if she had stuck around a lot more, she would have found out that Sarah and Grissom were together. And you know, she, when she's being questioned by Sarah she literally lays it all on the table. She tells Sarah that she knows everything about the miniature killer, what Sarah went through. And she thinks that at what Sarah is doing, she's chasing her to get back at her. Who knows? Even before Sarah was on her wit's end by the second time Hila shows up, and she was about to tell Grissom something, probably, tell her what she has been feeling, tell him what she has been feeling lately, probably apologize for the way she was behaving, because there is a scene that she's questioning Hannah, and Hannah doesn't budge, she doesn't break, and Sarah leaves the interrogation room, and Grissom chases after her, and Grissom's like, I'm worried about you, talk to me. We've never seen Grissom chase anyone, let alone Sarah. They're like, I'm worried about you. Dude, you live with her. You should have been able to talk to her in your own place.
But remember, at this time, they didn't have a schedule that matched up.
Well, I know.
They never saw each other.
I think being alone most of the time without Grissom, and then losing her friends, and then trying to cope, she is having PTSS, not PTSD anymore, PTSS.
And this is why Grissom tried to get her to stay on the team, and he was going to switch.
Yeah, but then she knows that everyone would blame her at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, in a few years, she will be proven right.
Yep, yeah, she's the
scapegoat. Two other people. Anyways, I still think it would have been a lot better if they had taken a break from the lab and probably went to San Francisco or something and just get married, call their friends, and live their lives a little away from crime until they're both ready to. That's why I really like this fanfic. There's a fanfic called Never Did Runs Move. It Never Did Runs Move or something like that. I can't remember who wrote it, but it happens on that space. And like, Sarah goes off for a run, and then she's really far away, and then it starts raining, and then Nick runs into her, and they have like a heart-to-heart, and Nick, I think Nick would have been the one that probably understood how Sarah felt after the whole ordeal with the miniature killer, because he was also kidnapped, but probably Nick searched for treatment after that. Sarah didn't. And then Sarah comes back home, and then she and Grissom have a fight, and then she leaves, and then when she comes back, they actually make up. But I really like that fic. It's pretty long, but I think it all comes down to Grissom and Sarah never actually communicating. They never did communicate. Well, I think even I've said this before, I think even in their relationship, Grissom would have expected her to chase after him because he was so used to that. Then she chased after him, and then she was just done. She was recovering from something so traumatic, and she still has to chase this man. I mean, I'd be tired too. Who wouldn't?
Well,
anyways, what are we talking about next week?
We're talking about toe tags.
Oh. Isn't that episode that it has a lot of cases and they have to work on?
Let's double check real quick. As if it is. And this is the one of the ones where we got a very cute scene from those two, from Grissom and Sarah.
Oh, the one with the saw thing?
Yep.
Well, that's cute. Oh, thank you so much for listening, guys. We love you so, so much.
Love y'all.
Bye. Stay safe.
Bye. Stay safe, stay healthy, and good.